Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be learning Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Siman Ches, the 8th chapter of our learning of halacha in the Kitzur. The topic is things that one should not be doing before one davens. There are 5 main concepts we're going to be looking at today. Concept number 1 is personal needs before davening. The second concept is eating before davening. The third is greeting others before davening. The fourth is Torah learning before davening. And finally, the fifth one is how this relates to women. Let's jump straight in. First concept is personal needs before davening. Before we understand this, we need to understand the time frame. When are we allowed? When are we responsible to daven for all this to matter? So the Gemara tells us in Brachos Dav Tes Amud Beis that the appropriate time to daven Shachris, the first Amida of the day, is going to be at the moment the sun rises. This is what the Gemara learns from the Pasuk, which is Yerei Ucha Im Shemesh V'Lifnei Yoreach Dor Dorim. They shall fear you with the sun and before the moon for all generations. And so for the first time that Yerei Ucha, that fear is expressed, that awesomeness is expressed, is at the moment the sun rises. However, technically speaking, because the Tamid Shel Shachar, the first korban of the day, was brought from Alois HaShachar, dawn, which is 72 minutes beforehand, Bidi Eved, in a post facto situation, then a person may daven from Alois HaShachar. It is worthwhile noting, just as a side point, that the Mishnah Berurah paskens that that is only be'akrai, that is circumstantially. I need to go to the airport and this is the only way I can daven. But to have a minyan kavur in that way, perhaps less appropriate, says the Mishnah Berurah. However, this being the case, technically speaking, the earliest possible time to daven in a Bidi Eved situation is from Alois HaShachar, from dawn. So therefore, this is learned out from Tehillim, Pei Hei, the 85th chapter in Tehillim, Tzedek Lefonov Yahalech, that you should go righteously in front of him, V'yosem L'derech Pamav, and then place your steps on the road. This is understood to mean that Tzedek refers, the righteousness refers to prayer, and that's what you need to do before you start going on your way. Therefore, it's considered a misprioritization for a person to start doing their work, start looking after their own needs before attending to the needs of their relationship to Hashem. When does this begin? So the Kitzur actually points out that this starts technically from Chatzos, from midnight, which is when a person can start saying Birkas HaShachar. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Paskening says it's about half an hour before dawn sets. That is the Netzach Hamah, which is sunrise, minus 72 minutes, or if you're using degrees based on the equinox, that 16.1 degrees beforehand, and then half an hour before that. This is really applicable in the question that I get every year about Tikkun Leil. At our shul's program, we have a beautiful, beautiful learning program, hundreds and hundreds of people that come to learn. And we also have food, which people can take advantage of throughout the course of that. The question is, when do we close the food? We close the food half an hour before our before dawn, and that is because of this halacha, as the Mishnah Berurah says it as well. What is actually prohibited during this time? What is considered based on that pasuk, v'yasem l'derech pa'amav, that your ways afterwards? So this includes personal business or travel, which before a person has davened as well. Personal business, going and attending to emails, dealing with things that have happened before Shachris. Obviously not talking about emergencies, but a person should not be going and checking their work email and sending emails and messages before they davened. And forget even this halacha, it's just simply mental health. If a person wakes up in the morning with the moment they wake up to be looking at their phone, that means to say their actual sleep is going to be diminished as well. Forget anything else. But this is the halacha. One should not be attending to personal business before one has davened. Now, there are included in this also eating. So the Kitzur explains based on the Gemara that there are 2 prohibitions that a person's really concerned with when it comes to eating above that of misprioritization. Number 1 is the Torah tells us, Loisoi Chulal Adam, do not eat on blood. This has multiple explanations, but the one of them is Loisoi Chulal Koidim Shizispalu Al Dimchem. Do not eat before you've prayed for your own blood. Meaning, don't eat before you've guaranteed your life today. and that therefore is seen as a greater infringement. In addition, the Gemara tells us, a person who eats or drinks before that, and then they only daven afterwards. The Toposuk says about such a person, you've thrown me behind your back. And this is interpreted to mean not just your back, but ge'echa, after your arrogance, meaning what kind of arrogant person is taking care of themselves before praying to Hashem. There's no guarantee of waking up in the morning. There's no guarantee that everything that was yesterday is going to be today. We need to thank Hashem every morning. We need to put that priority into place as well. So this is seen as even more stringent than even the work details or personal things that a person needs to attend with. What about that? We know that certainly applies to eating. What about drinking? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says water, tea, and coffee without milk and sugar is allowed. Having milk and sugar, according to the Kitzur, is seen as a luxury. Once it's a luxury, it is seen as arrogance and therefore has now entered into this prohibition. How the Mishnah Brura actually makes a very interesting observation when he says that a person can place a sugar cube between their teeth and drink through the sugar cube. So not putting the sugar into the tea, which is seen as a luxury, but they're giving at least a little bit of an aftertaste or sweetness there, in this case as well. Already the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Chil Michal Epstein, in his work on this particular topic, points out that that adding sugar to coffee is not considered haughtiness. It's really considered just adding flavor, not a luxury. Again, just depending on locality and what is the norm in localities. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Halachos Shlomo points out that that drinking coffee with milk and sugar is permitted before davening because if you feel it's needed. But it's best to say a pasuk beforehand as well. Notice, by the way, that the Aruch HaShulchan says that sugar may be allowed, but milk is considered something which is actually sustaining. There's a lot of nutrients in there, so it shouldn't be done. But the Rosh Shlomo Zalman already is saying that it is allowed. A person should say a pasuk. Noting his life, it is noted that he would say, Elecha Hashem Ekra, he would say the pasuk, Hashem, I call out to you. And Rav Yashiv pointed out that today it is allowed to drinking coffee and milk with sugar because it's not considered a luxury, and depending on the locality and what the norm is, then perhaps drinking with a small amount of milk is not an issue if certainly one has said a bracha or a pasuk as well. What about a latte? This sounds like a very 21st century Western question. What about a latte? So interestingly enough, Rav Nevensal points out that it depends on one's intent. If the latte has got an espresso shot, so it allows a person to concentrate better during the davening, then that's not a luxury. That is just a way of making the davening better. If, however, it's not for that, it's just because one is so spoiled with one's taste that one cannot simply do instant or a regular coffee, then that's a luxury, and that's really considered today. We see our level of expectation seems to have risen so much, and you can even see it in the poskim. The poskim are not changing halacha; they're reflecting the norms of the times, which have changed so dramatically from the times of the Kitzur and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah already 100 years ago and plus to where we are today as well. What if one is sick? If a person is sick that they cannot make it, they're too weak to make it through davening without eating, they may eat or drink a little bit to get through, but they should certainly say Kriyas Shema beforehand. Again, a person needs to be honest with themselves, because if a person is checking the news and calling people before davening but can't make it through davening without eating, then there seems to be a little bit of a double standard there. So a person needs to be really honest as to what they can manage or cannot manage as well. Davening isn't so long. What about if a person has enough stamina for the weekday but not for Shabbos and Yom Tov? So in that case, it is best, the Kitzur says, to daven shachris at home to be able to say kiddush, and then to eat a little bit, then to go to shul for musaf if that person cannot make it through as well, because then one will at least have made it through the first part of davening, the first amida, to be able to say kiddush. Or perhaps if one lives close enough to daven in shul, go back, say kiddush, have something to eat, and then go back. Which leads us to another question. How could you drink regularly on Shabbos and Yom Tov a coffee, a tea before davening, if in the end of the day one has not had kiddush? So the truth is that the chiyuv of kiddush kicks in after one's davened shachris. So before shachris, it's inappropriate to eat or drink because one hasn't davened. There are exceptions to that, which is drinking simple things like water, coffee, or tea. That is allowed. But once shachris happens on a Shabbos and Yom Tov, one's not allowed to eat anything or drink anything, not even a sip of water, until one's done kiddush. So it becomes more stringent once one davens shacharis as well. It's interesting, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch does not talk about folks coming to shul, holding their coffee cup with a cover and sipping a drink, so get a zimra. That's because I don't think the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch would have ever imagined this would ever be a shaila in Jewish history, which perhaps is the answer to the question itself. Now, the third concept is, what about greeting others before praying? The Kitzur brings us that it is aser, it is prohibited to go and greet other people before greeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is considered based on a pasuk, Chidlu lachem mina adam asher neshama ba'apoy, ki vamen nechshavu. Go away from, leave the other people who have a breath in their noses, because they are considered useless. Meaning to say, why are you spending all the time prioritizing people over prioritizing your relationship with Hashem? That is what's seen. So a person should not be the social butterfly and be going over to people and walking to their houses before and greeting them before davening. What if one bumps into another person on the way to shul? That's fine. One can say good morning because one's not going out of one's way to greet another person. If one needs to help and escort a sickly or elderly person, that's not a problem because one's helping them. One's not going out of one's way to go greet others before davening. One is simply going to help them. But it is interesting. What about going over to somebody in shul? So going over, let's say one arrives in shul, one wants to go over and say hi to another person, that is a problem. That means to say that if one has got to shul, one is not davening Birkos HaShachar yet, and then one goes over to the other person just to greet and say, oh, that is inappropriate. That if one's walking to one's seat and on the way one sees one or another person, one can say good morning. The language in those days was Tzafra Demaritav, which is good morning. They're not Shalom Aleichem. One diminishes it. If one passes another person, that's fine. But to get into shul, start walking around and saying hi to other people before one starts davening, that is actually in transgression of this. One has to be careful of this because a lot of times shul has a social component to it. And one has to be very careful about this particular issue because it happens often. Finally, what about Torah learning before davening? So the halach is one should not learn Torah before davening because one can get caught up in it and then actually miss davening. Miss the Zman Tefillah, miss the Zman Kriyas Shema, which is a very fascinating question, because isn't that a very good thing? Aren't we trying to encourage everybody to come and daven and learn before davening or after davening, and therefore learning before davening seems like a great thing? Is this really in practice, or is this a legal fiction? The answer is there's two exceptions to this prohibition. Number one is if one is learning with a chavrusa, then it's fine because they will remind each other. One's not going to get lost in one's own thoughts or ideas. And number two is if one is learning even by oneself in a shul, no problem, because in the shul, then the davening is going to start. They'll be forced to wake up and remember what's going on around them as well. So these are the two exceptions. It's important, therefore, not to learn oneself in one's home before davening as well, but alone, unless there's a mechanism that's going to remind a person to get to shul as well. Finally, how does this concept relate to women? So quick background, are women obligated in prayer? The answer is absolutely. The question is on what level? So the question stems from the fact that a woman is usually not obligated in the mitzvah, I say, a positive commandment, shazman grama, that is bound by time. So how does this work? The Ramban, Nachmanides, understands that women are not obligated midoraisa because tefillah is a time-bound halacha. However, Chazal instituted tefillah for men and women. And the reason they included women in this is because women also need rachmim. Men and women equally need to pray for their lives. There are so many needs in life. And therefore, when the institution of Chazal was started, it was started for men and women. But women were included in two tefillahs. Shachris and Mincha were what was included incumbent upon a woman. So therefore, according to this first opinion, which is expressed in Halacha, women should be davening Shachris and Mincha, the Amidah. That's specifically the Amidah. We'll get to other parts of it as we move further. However, the Rambam understands, no, women are obligated midah or raisa, biblically, because it's not a mitzvah sasai shazman grama, because a woman is obligated to pray every day. That's not time-bound. That is a lifelong thing, which is within the framework of every single day. Question is that in understanding the Rambam, how much is expected of a woman on a daily basis? So some understand, the majority opinion understands, that it requires one Amidah a day. So there are some women who do a Shachris or a Mincha, and that is their obligation. Whereas there are those who are more lenient and understand that the Rambam means to say she can even discharge her daily responsibility with the Birkos HaTorah, the blessings of the Torah, and the Birkos HaShachar, and the morning blessings about the experience of life as well. So bearing that in mind, how does this halacha of no personal activity, no eating and drinking, no learning of Torah and greeting others apply to a woman? It depends on the obligation. If a woman is obligated in Shachris and Mincha, like the first opinion of the Ramban, then before she davens Shachris, same laws apply to her as to a man. If she's doing either Shachris or Mincha, depending on the day and the schedule, If she's doing shachris, same would apply. All these restrictions would apply to her before shachris. If it's going to be mincha, she should do birkas hashachar and then eat, greet, business and so on. And if a woman is just doing her davening just with the minimal, which is birkas hatorah and birkas hashachar on a daily basis, then she should do that before all of these activities as well. Sometimes a woman can be so busy in the morning because let's say it's a young mother who's attending to the children and the carpool and everything else is going on and the buses. There's so much that happens to be going on in the morning and it's going to be 3 hours before she even gets a moment to breathe. There's not going to be time to even say Birkas HaTorah. She should see if she can get in the Birkas HaShachar before having something to eat. If not possible, she should have something to eat because then she'd be in the category of somebody who's too weak to get through davening, to end up davening without being able to eat as well. So depending on circumstance. But this would be the framework as it applies to women. In the meantime, this concludes our section of the prohibited activities before one davens. Have a wonderful and meaningful